أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا صلوات Before I start this regular speech tonight, I have an announcement and a request to make about your center. Alhamdulillah, this is a ni'mat and blessing of Allah that He has rewarded your community with this markaz. And the place where we can come and learn the ma'arif, the high-level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. And learn the values, al-qiyam al-ilahiyya, arzishhaya islami, and teach and transfer these values to our generations, so they can proudly, they can feel muftakhir and proud over the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and they can perform all the faaliyat and activities on the khat and the path of Ahlul Bayt. So the center, especially in this corner of the world, plays a very significant and fundamental role in the lives of all of us. We learn our whole religion from the center. Almost the entire religion, you know, a lot of people don't have time to read books, isn't it right? So we learn the whole Islam. For a lot of people, you know, the entire teachings, or most of the teachings they learn through the center. So this is our responsibility to take care of our center, take care of the cleanliness of the center, take care of the caring about the center. And I heard that there is a loan on your center, isn't it right? So $400,000 or whatever, something. I don't know the exact figure. The brothers in your EC, executive committee, can come forward and tell it. But what I would like to, before I invite them to say something, I would like to definitely say that it's the job and responsibility of every mu'min who has istita'at and capability to support all the productive and positive services and khadamat which are offered by the center. So we can pay off the center, we can have the center paid off immediately, and I am positive, inshaAllah, bi'awnillah wa quwwatihi. If our brothers and sisters, mashallah, as we have these many people in the hub and love of Ahlul Bayt, you came here, if everyone moves forward and give a little bit, we can easily pay off the center very quickly. Because alhamdulillah, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt are not, you know, attached to money. This is not the alamat of a lover of Ahlul Bayt. A lover of Ahlul Bayt has no attachment with dunya, no attachment with maal. He is attached with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and their love. This is, isn't that right? So we find in the life, before I invite the EC, one person came and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Mali la uhibbul maut. What's my problem? What happened to me that I don't like death? Look at the question of the person to Rasulullah. Mali la uhibbul maut. What's the issue? What's the problem that I don't love death? Rasulullah, Ahlul Bayt, they used to love death. Love death is liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? We need to love death. لَبْنُ أَبِي طَالِبْ آنَسْ بِالْمَوْتْ مِنَ الْتِفْلِ بِسَدْيِ أُمِّهِ. Didn't Amir Mumin alayhi salam say that the son of Abu Talib is more familiar, Anas is more ma'noos and familiar to death than the baby towards the, you know, breast of its mother. So this much Amir Mumin is ma'noos with death. So this person said to Rasulullah, مَالِي لَا أُحِبُّ الْمَوْتْ. What's the issue? What's the matter that I don't love death? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alaka malun?" Do you have money? He said, "Na'am." Yes. Prophet said, "Qaddimhu." Send it forth. That means spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is when we spend the money, we are sending the money ahead, forth, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are investing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So Prophet said to him, قَدِّمْهُ, send the money forward. That means send it to Allah. He said, لَا أَسْتَطِي, I can't do it. Prophet says, إِنَّ قَلْبَ الرَّجُلْ مَعَ مَالِهِ. The heart of a person, the soul of the person is with his money. إِنْ قَدَّمَهُ. If a person sends the money forward, this is such a nice thing for us to remember, this beautiful statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Please say salawat. So, such a beautiful statement that Prophet says, in qaddamahu ahabba an yalhaqa bihi. If a person sends his money forward, he would love to join his money. وَإِنْ أَخَّرَهُ. And if he leaves the money behind, now what happens when you leave the money behind? Prophet says that أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَتَأَخَّرَ مَعَهُ. He would love to be delayed along with his money. So Islam has made it very easy for the believers that we should send the money forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any dollar that you spend for the sake of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you are actually investing and protecting your money. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives several fold, several times, depending on our ikhlas and taharatul qalb. What is the level and daraja of the ikhlas? The reward and jaza is according to our level of ikhlas. So I would like to request the executive committee of your organization to please come forward, introduce whatever loan and the amount you have. It's our responsibility as mu'mineen and lovers of Ahlul Bayt that each one of us feel obliged to do, you know, as much as we can to get the center paid off, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. So just to put things in perspective, what Maulana talked about regarding the loan. If we pay our loan today that we have in our on our center, we have to pay $420,000 if we pay today. Okay, so the other deadline that is getting really close at this point in time, when we got the loan on this center, because we did not have a regular revenue stream, so we got the balloon rate, we got the ARM, okay? The deadline for ARM is getting close right now. It's this year, September, okay? So last year, what we have decided is to start a project and get our community involved. And what I mean by this project is we are basically looking for at least 100 families, 100 able families in our community who could pay $100 per month on a regular basis to contribute $100 per month on a regular basis to the center. So that was the project we started. So last year, we were able to get at least 40 families. But we know, as you can see today, like we are stronger than that. We have more than 40 families. So we are again coming to you guys and asking for your help so that if we could get $100 per month per family, we would be in a position where we will have a constant revenue stream. We could go back to the bank and ask to refinance according to our terms and conditions. Because right now, we don't have a constant revenue stream. So when last year, actually, we tried. We went to the bank, and bank refused to refinance our center because we did not have a constant revenue stream. So we want our community to become habitual of paying on regular basis, okay? So that every month, we rely on some money that would come in. And of course, from that money, we'll do some expenses as well. But we need to become habitual and start paying our dues and contributions on a regular basis. Okay. So the project that I talked about last year, we distributed these forms. This is a form per family. Okay. Again, as I said, we are looking for $100 per family. Okay, per month. You can pay at once if you want. You can pay $100 per month on a monthly basis, or you can pay weekly basis as well. We are flexible, but we really need your support. So please come forward. And part of this project, we have Brother Hassan. He's a Sunday school principal. Can you stand up, please? We have Brother Hani. Is Brother Hani here right now? Okay, Brother Hani. So you can contact Brother Hani. We can distribute these forms. Please fill these forms, and based on your ability, like if you want to pay at once, if you want to pay $100 per month, or if you want to pay per week, please mention that, and then we will basically, it's a pledge form, so then we will come and remind you every month, every week, to pledge to pay the amount that you have pledged. Okay? Yeah, so basically we'll give you the forms, fill this form and give it back to us so that we will have a track record of your pledges, and then we will basically come to you and collect the money. So please, again, we are requesting you to fill this form, return this back to us so that we can have a constant revenue stream, and that is that is very important for us so that we could go back to the bank and get a refinance on our terms and conditions. Salawat. We can distribute these forms, so if any one of you like to receive these forms, please just raise your hand. We'll come and...
Everyone will like, inshallah. Give it to everyone, inshallah.
Most of you already know, tomorrow at between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., we are commemorating Imam Hussain Day at Federal Building, 125 South and State Street. This is between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. tomorrow. And please join us. As you may have seen yesterday, most of you have seen yesterday, we have kids' speech there. So we want to... we want to support them, so they need your support. Please come and join us to commemorate Imam Hussain Day at Federal Building between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. 125 South and State Street.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We find in the narration that Hazrat Musa على نبينا وآله وعليه السلام asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إلهي بما فضلت أُمَّةَ آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأُمَامِ Oh my Lord, why did you give fadilat and superiority to the ummah of the final time over the rest of the nations. The ummah of Rasulullah, which we all belong, alhamdulillah, to this ummah of the Holy Prophet is afdal and superior to all the previous nations. Now, Prophet Musa is asking Allah, why did you give fadilat and superiority to this nation, the nation of the last time, over the rest of the nations? And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back, for the sake of ashri khisalim. Ashri khisal, 10 attributes. Well, it's something that we need to think about, because if you look at the sins, you know, if you find the sins which are committed by a lot of people today in the ummah of Rasulullah, these sins are no less as compared to the sins committed by the previous nations. Isn't it right? Some of the people of the previous nations. Very few people were pious. Most of the people were not pious. Most of the people were sinners. So, why do we find the people of the previous nations have been punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when it comes to the nation of Rasulullah, we are not punished in the same way. People of the previous nations were sent, Allah used to send azab. Isn't it right? After warning, when the warning comes, the Imam al-Hujjat, the full evidence is fulfilled, azab and punishment of Allah would arrive. How much azab had came on Bani Israel? Isn't it right? We find this a person who is disobeys Hadrat Musa alayhi salam. Whenever they used to drink water, the water used to convert into blood. Now this guy is trying to drink water and it converts into blood. So he gives this cup to a follower of Hadrat Musa alayhi salam, a Muslim. Prophet Musa was a Muslim and his followers were all Muslims. So this person who is a disbeliever of Prophet Musa, his water cup converts into blood when he drinks. So now he gives the same cup to the follower of Hazrat Musa, a Muslim, and the blood converts into water. He again takes the water cup back and again converts into blood. How much adab came from Allah? Finally, this person says to this follower of Hazrat Musa, the Muslim, you put the water into your mouth and you spit water from your mouth into my mouth. Can you outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You cannot outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same he did. He put the water into the mouth, this Muslim guy who was a follower of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He put the water into his mouth. And now he threw the water into this person who is a disbeliever into Hazrat Musa, into his mouth. It again converts into blood. So how much adab used to come on the Banu Israel? Right? Since one Fajr al-Sadiq, the true dawn, to Tulu'u shams, the sunrise, Banu Israel have killed 70 prophets of God, 70 prophets in the time of Al-Fajr al-Sadiq to the time of sunrise. In such short duration, they killed 70 prophets. Punishments used to arrive upon them, various types of punishments. I have just mentioned one of that list. So many of the previous nations converted into animals. We call them mamsukhat. 25 animals are mentioned in the ahadith. You look at the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, Wasail al-Shia. All the ahadith are there in Wasail al-Shia. 25 animals are mentioned in ahadith. So humans or nations were converted into animals. Pigs, khanazir, qirada, monkeys, the various kinds of fishes, snakes. So many different animals, humans or nations were converted into animals. We call them mamsukhat. So these punishments used to come on previous nations, but we don't find these kind of punishments coming on the nation of Rasulullah, although the sins are no less. Maybe there are more. Prophet has also said, لَتَتْبَعَنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلَ أَحَدُهُمْ لو دخل أحدهم في جحر ضب لدخلتموه. You people are certainly going to follow the sunnats and the traditions of those before you. Even if one of them had entered into the hole of a desert lizard, you people will also end up entering into the same, into the hole of the desert lizard. There's so much tashabuh and resemblance between our nation and the previous nations. So much harams are being committed. But still we find the adab is not arriving. So we find the reason why the adab did not come in that way, the way it used to come. Our scholars say there are two things mentioned in the Quran. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah is not, Surah Al-Anfal, Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are in them. Look at the azamat of Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Please say salawat. So today we find Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is here in the earth among the human society because of the barakat and the azamat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. The adab is not arriving in the ummah. Not that the sins are less. Sins are not less. Sins may be more. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah is not going to punish them when they are doing the, in other words, they're doing the istighfar and seeking forgiveness from Allah. Istighfar is another great rahmat and mercy of Allah. Seeking forgiveness is another mercy of Allah that He has provided. So we find that Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa the 10 khisal, 10 attributes, means basically the nation of Rasulullah has, and because of those 10 attributes and khisal, this nation of Rasulullah has been made superior to the previous nations by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first reason is as-salah. That means this nation is praying. Well, not everybody is praying. Again, there are some people who are praying, and because of their salat and prayers, the rest of the people are, this ummah is becoming afdal and superior because of their salat. Salat is one of the pillars of Islam. Unfortunately, we find in our communities, generally speaking, lots of youth don't know how to pray. One of the major reasons is the mas'uliyat and responsibilities are on the neck of the fathers and the mothers. Primarily the father. Because is the wajib on the neck of the father to teach the adab. حق الولد على والده أن يحسن اسمه يحسن اسمه يحسن أدبه ويعلمه القرآن. حق الولد على والده. This is the job of the father to teach the adab and akhlaq and the, you know, of Islam to the children. It's not the job of the mother primarily. Second of all, it's her job. First of all, is the job of the father. If the son does not pray, daughter does not know how to pray, isn't it right? Then the father is liable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the father doesn't wake up for the father prayers himself, how would you teach your son? How can you be the role model? You are the best role model for your own children. As-salatu amudul deen. You know, it's a pillar. It's like you have the construction. If the pillar goes down, the whole construction would collapse. If your salat is not there, we go not, you know, we can understand the whole construction of the religion. You give charity, you do a good job, whatever you do, Allah has His principles. Nothing of the good deeds are accepted. First things first. Until you give the preference and priority and tarjih to what Allah considers to be aham and more important in the eyes of Allah, which is salat. So we need to adjust our tarajih and priorities with that. You know, do we give that much importance to salat? We find Abu Basir says, دَخَلْتُ عَلَىٰ أُمِّ حَمِيدَةَ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا لِأُعَزِّيهَا بِأَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Umm Hamida is the wife of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So Abu Basir is the Sahabi and companion. He says, I came to see Hazrat Umm Hamida salamullah alayha, so I can do ta'ziyat, condolences on the shahadat and martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to his wife. And she said to me that I wish you were there in the final moments of the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's life. And he said in the final moments, Inna shafa'atana la tanalo mustakhiffam bis salah. Our shafa'at and intercession is not going to reach the person who considers salah to be unimportant. Istighfaf means considering salah to be khafif and sabuk, not important, not, you know, something which has not importance in the eyes. So obviously, tariq al-salah is beyond the question. So ma bayn al-abd wal-kufr tariq al-salah. Didn't Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali al-Islam say, between the person and him becoming a kafir, what it takes to be a kafir? Stop praying. If you stop praying, if you quit the prayers, that's what it takes to become a kafir. Ma bayn al-abd wal-kufr tariq al-salah. You don't grow horns when you become a kafir. Right? If he stop praying, I don't teach my son how to pray. What's the wajibat of the salat? What is the arkan? What are the wajibat or the 11 wajibat of the salat? Taharat. Right? So many of the children I see in the West, they don't know the difference between ma'ul kur and ma'ul kathir, and ma'ul kathir and ma'ul jari and al ma'ul qaleel. Is a red kur water and less than kur water, which is called qaleel, and more than kur water, which is called kathir. How to clean yourself? This basic stuff. If you don't know how to clean yourself, all your salat is batil, your ibadat are gone without taharat. First chapter of our fiqh, when you open a book of fiqh, is kitab al-tahara. Chapter number one, that's the ABC of Islam. If my children don't know the difference between the kur water and qaleel water and kaseer water, how would they clean themselves? All the ibadat are gone. So we find that this is a job of the father and also the mother. Before the child reaches the bulugh, sinnul bulugh, in the age 7 is the deadline. Right? Yumarranu lis salate. Prophet has said in his hadith, the child is trained for salat at the age of 7. In other words, when this is a deadline in Islam, your children crosses the age of 7, you are already late. By the age 7, you must teach the ahkam to your daughter and your son. So we find that Amir al-Mumineen asked some of his ashab about the fact that, you know, and he went on the minbar and he said, Ayyu ayatin arja fi kitabillah. Imam Ali asked this question to some of his ashab. Which ayat of Quran gives the highest hope in the book of Allah? Arja, and provides more hope for us. And there are different replies coming from the ashab. Someone said this ayat of Holy Quran, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha. Whoever comes with one good deed, for him is 10 times of that, in other words. So Allah is going to reward one good deed, it's going to be rewarded 10 times. This is true in Islam. You do one good deed, when the ayat was revealed. So we have riwayat that tell us, Prophet did not agree on that kind of reward. Look at the rahmat of Allah. You do one good deed, He gives you 10 times of the reward. You do one bad deed, you get one punishment only. So Prophet, shaitan is there for the waswasa and deception. Prophet was not radhi and pleased with this kind of rewarding policy of Allah. So we find that Prophet wanted more from Allah. So Allah said, if the people of the ummah, in other words, they make the niyat of good deeds, I will give sawab to them. If they the niyat and intention of doing a bad deed, I will not give punishment to them. Prophet still did not agree with this. He wanted more rahmat for his rahmatul lil alameen. He wanted more rahmat and mercy on his nation. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Holy Prophet that anyone, in other words, of your ummah, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations, in my own words, anyone of your ummah, after doing the sin, if he repents, has nadamat and pashimani, and he repents, you know, I will forgive him.
Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said, "Al-nadmu tawbatun." You have nadamat in the qalb, that's enough for the tawbah. If you are nadim, if you are nadamat, you are ta'ib.
So this is how, this is a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Barawa scholars say, "Man ja'a bil hasanati." Whoever comes with the good deed. Our scholars have said in the tafsir, go and reach in the mahdar and hudur and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will get the 10 times of the reward. It's very difficult to protect our good deeds and reach the hudur and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of the people, unfortunately, when they perform the good deeds, they lose the good deeds because of their riya, because of their, you know, al-ashirkul khafi. Talking and showing off to the people.
I do Salatul Layl and I come and mention in my community whenever I sit on the dining table, drinking tea for the mu'mineen.
I say, well, I pray Salatul Layl every night. Why are we mentioning our hasana and good deed in front of the people? When you mention the hasana, you know, it is, you lose the sawab. The sawab is decreased. When we show off, we lose the sawab. So it's very hard to even maintain the sawab of our hasanat till the death. When we reach with our hasanat to Allah and His mahdar and His hudur and presence, that's when He's going to give us 10 times of the reward. So this is what we are supposed to see. Inna milakal a'mal khawatimuhu. The criteria of our actions is the end of the action. How did I end up with in my life? At the end time of my life, did I maintain my a'mal with ikhlas? This is the key point. So we find that this was not accepted by Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the correct reply. He asked his ashab, "Ayyu ayatin arja fi kitabillah?" Which ayat of Quran in the book of Allah provides most hope? And somebody decided this ayat, "Man ja'a bil hasanati." Imam Ali did not accept. Another person replied, another ayat of Holy Quran that we find that which is also not accepted by Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. And please say salawat. And ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Somebody recited this ayat of Holy Quran. Oh my servants who did israf over their selves, don't be disappointed from my rahmat. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Certainly Allah forgives all the sins. So Imam Ali still did not accept this response from this sahabi and this companion. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam himself replies the correct answer. He says, whatever you people have mentioned provides the hope, but basically this is not the most hopeful, hope-providing ayat of Quran. Then Imam Ali gives the correct answer. And the correct answer he gave, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. This ayat of Holy Quran, Amir al-Mu'mineen considers to be most hope-providing, raja-providing ayat. This talks about salat. We have to install the salat from the, you know, in the beginning and the end of the day. وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and the beginning time of the night. And إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Certainly the good deeds erase, you know, the bad deeds, take away the bad deeds. Salat is the, you know, he says that I heard the Holy Prophet saying, if any one of you has a nahr, a water stream running next to your door.
In other words,
Let's imagine for a moment we have a water stream, you know, running in front of our door, and a person takes a shower, a dip, takes a, you know, takes a dip, and he washes his whole body, bathes in his in that water stream 5 times a day. So hal yabqa, will there be any kind of dirt remaining on his body? Same is the case for salat. When we do the salat, we are washed away from our sins. Every time we do the salat, we are washed away from our sins. So this salat is the one, and hasanat take away the bad deeds. This is the most hope-providing ayat of the Holy Quran. So we find that obviously the salat which is salat, the salat which keeps us away from fahsha and munkar, is considered to be salat in the eyes of Allah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. Not the salat which, you know, if la samahallah, God forbid, I do 5 harams in my life, I continue to do the same 5 harams every day, and I don't even realize that I'm doing this haram. I keep on doing it. This zulmat and darkness is piling. Zulmatun, you know, become ba'daha fawqa ba'd. You know, piling up. Some people are like this. One of the benefits of coming to the Majlisul Aza of Abi Abdullah and Hussain alayhi salam, we become nurani and we remove the zulmat from the qalb. So salat is a salat in the eyes of Allah if it stops us from the indecency and the munkar. This is very important for us to remember, to make our salat worthwhile and accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we get cleaned up. Please say salawat. The second thing that Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa alayhi salam is zakat. Zakat means Islamic taxes. Zakat removes the afat and bala from our maal. Not just maal, but also from our badan. According to the confirmed hadith of Rasulullah, zakat, in a sadaqah, when we give away the tax, it removes 70 of the balas. One person came to the Holy Prophet and said, I am faqir. Shall I give the zakat or shall I accept the sadaqah from the people? Prophet said, I swear to Allah, if you gave the zakat, you would never become faqir. That means the reason why you ended up becoming faqir, because you did not give the zakat. People think if they give away the money, they're going to lose it. They will have a decrease and naqs in their money. Decrease in their amwal. That's why there's so much attached to the money. They're not ready to give it away. They think spending, nafaqa, infaq, is decreasing the money. They don't realize the promise and wa'ad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think spending is decreasing. That's why they don't give. Isn't it right? That's one of the major reasons why people don't give away the money. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the people, istanzilu rizqa bis sadaqah. Bring down the risk through sadaqah. Please say salawat. So if we understand this much, if we have understood this much, that giving away is. This is what min al-a'rab, they were some a'rab who used to consider infaq as maghraman. Isn't right? Is it going to cause gharamat for them? They would lose the money. And in Islam, when we spend more money for the sake of Allah, that's where we get the barakat in our money. Imam Ali al-Salam saw the amma, kaniz, the maid of a person, standing on the butcher's shop, and she's asking the butcher to give some more of the, you know, a little bit more, and the butcher is saying, no, I don't want to give more, and they were arguing with each other. Imam Ali alayhi salam said to the butcher, give her more. Your entire barakat in your maal is in what you give more to her. That's where the entire barakat is. This is what people don't understand. If we understand that giving away in the way of Allah is where we provide the barakat and increase in our money and the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah provides several four, 700 times towards those whom He wishes. And for those He wants, He gives even more than 700 times. If we understand that, we have the ma'rifat. It requires ma'rifat to understand this much. Please say salawat.
On the contrary, we find there are people who are ready to get the money from haram sources. Then right, man lam yubale min ayna iktasab al mal, lam yubale Allah min ayna adkhalahu an-nar. Whoever doesn't care from which source he earns the money from, doesn't care halal, haram, doesn't matter. As long as the money is coming, it's okay.
مَنْ لَمْ يُبَالِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَ الْمَالِ لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهِ. Allah will not care from where He throws him into the hell. صَدَقَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He said the truth. So we need to be particular about what is the source of the money. So our كَسْبُ الْحَرَامِ يَبِينُ فِي الظُّرِّيَّةِ. Haram income appears in the lineage. One of the reasons why the children don't listen. You find some of the parents are telling and telling and telling to the child doesn't listen. Because the father has fed him the haram rizq. Kasbul haram yabinu fi dhurriya. Yadhar fi dhurriya. It's going to appear in the lineage. It will have its impact. Some people don't realize these things. So we find that obviously, when we make money from haram, sadaqah, we don't even have the right to give sadaqah or zakat from the haram money. It doesn't even belong to us. أَنْفِقُمْ مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ لَا مِنْ خَبِيثَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah has asked us to give sadaqah from the tayyibat of what Allah provided the risk. So the clean money, that's where we are supposed to give sadaqah towards others. So we find that when there is haram component in the body, it will have ta'seer and impact on the qalb, on the soul. Ayatullah Sheikh Fadlullah Nuri Shaheed, rahmatullahi alayh, big mujtahid, was crucified in Tehran. And right, his own son, as narrated in the history, according to that report, his own son put the ring of crucifixion into the neck of his father, Ayatullah Sheikh Fadlullah An-Nuri. His own son is part of the, Tahut, Tawagit, soldiers. And he, their people. And he's the one who put the ring of crucifixion in the neck of his father, the Mujtahid. Can you imagine how far a person can... And somebody asked him, why is your son like this? He said, because my wife went and took the baby to a Nasibi woman, Nasibiya, and to breastfeed this son. This is the ta'seer, this is the impact of drinking milk from a Nasibi, a Nasibiya person, a woman who had Nasbul Ada towards Ahlul Bayt. That means bugh and hatred towards Ahlul Bayt and Islam. We never do that. We never do that in Islam. So everything that we do towards, this father was scolding his son, he steal. The son stole something from the next door neighbor's house. Father was shouting over his son and took the son into his own house, brought him into the house. The mother heard, what's the matter? And the father said, he stole from neighbor's house. The mother said, don't say anything bad to him, because actually I am responsible. When I was hamil, when I was pregnant with this child of yours, I also stole such and such thing when I was pregnant. So this is a ta'seer of what the father and the mother do towards, towards the children. This is a ta'seer and impact that they're going to get. Everything has a reason. So many times we find you tell the ahkam, the ta'aleem of Islam, which is noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the child is not listening. Why? While the child, not every child is shaqiyul qalb, like the son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. No. Everyone is not shaqiyul qalb. But some of the children are not listening. One of the major reasons, because they have eaten haram. Please say salawat. The third thing that Allah mentions to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the reason why the ummah of Rasulullah is given fadilat and superiority over the previous nations, is psalm, fasting. Fasting is one of the unique worships of Islam because of several reasons. And one of those reasons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided a reward for every ibadat. But when it comes to fasting, Allah did not provide the reward for fasting. He did not fix that reward like this. Instead, He says, "Asawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi." Fasting belongs to me and I am going to reward for him. Allah Himself is going to reward for him. And some of our urafa recite this hadithul qudsi, this statement of Allah, in a different way. Basiqatul Mahdool. They say it means ihtimalan as-sawmu li wa ana ujza bihi. Fasting belongs to me and I am the reward for it, for this. Allah Himself is the reward. So how can we understand the azamat of fasting? Isn't it right? If we can fast in 3 days every month, we will be counted that we fasted the whole month. Everybody can fast for 3 days in a month. That's not a big deal. Isn't it right? Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were da'imus sawm. They were fasting throughout their lives. Isn't it right? So we can fast. We fast in the first Thursday of the Islamic lunar calendar month and the last Thursday and the middle Wednesday. According to what ulama of akhlaq have said. First Thursday, the Thursday is chosen because of the reason that Thursday is, you know, where our a'mal and actions are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'mal are always in front of Allah, but specially they are presented in front of Allah on Thursday. And Wednesday is chosen because Jahannam was created on a Wednesday. So we want to extinguish the flames of the hellfire upon ourselves by fasting on a Wednesday. So psalm and fasting is something that cleanses ourselves from the sins. Fourth of all, Allah has said to Prophet Musa is Hajj. Fourth reason why this ummah has been made superior than the previous nations is Hajj. Another issue in the Islamic community, you find there are so many people who have, mashallah, good money. They are making very good money. But they don't go for Hajj.
Hajj became wajib on their neck. They are mustatee.
Isn't it right? Most of the people in America, most of our community in America are mustatee. Most of them, huge majority, because we are living in a country which has, you know, largest number of global wealth, isn't it right? Almost everybody can make $5,000-$6,000, can save $5,000-$6,000 per year. Almost everybody can do that.
We are not living in Somalia or Ethiopia. We are living in America, isn't it right?
If you make 6,000, 7,000, whatever is the amount, miqdar of the qafila, the caravans nowadays, according to today's rate, if you have that much money savings you make, you cannot spend that money. If you have this much savings, you cannot spend that money unless you first go for Hajj. Because when you make that much money which suffices for Hajj, the first thing you are supposed to do when you make this much savings, more than your necessity, which suffices for Hajj, first thing is that, go for Hajj.
If a person doesn't go for Hajj, فَلْيَمُتْ إِنْ شَاءَ يَهُودِيًّا وَإِنْ شَاءَ نَصْرَانِيًّا. A person is not going to die as a mu'min. He is going to die according to the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He is going to die either as a Yahudi or a Nasrani.
Hajj became wajib. Ahlul Bayt are asking us to go for Hajj, but I don't want to go. Some of the fuqaha say if a person intentionally did not go for Hajj, none of his warasa and inheritors can do the Hajj in his niyabat and proxy. Because he intentionally showed arrogance towards Allah. Some of the fuqaha have said that as well in their fatwa. So hajj is that wajib.
لو ترك الناس الحج لا وجب على الإمام أن يجبرهم عليه.
If the people abandon the Hajj, it is wajib on the Imam al-Muslimin and Wali al-Muslimin to force the people for Hajj. In هذا البيت قد وضع للحج. This house is made for Hajj. It cannot be kept vacant. These are the ta'aleem of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We cannot abandon the Hajj. We find that
obviously it's our responsibilities, brothers and sisters, that when we make that much money, we go for Hajj without delay.
Delaying the Hajj to the next year is great sin, ma'asiyatun kabira, gunahe kabira in Islam.
A person is considered as fasiq, not called an adil person. His shahadat and witness is not accepted in any Islamic court system. Any person who delays the Hajj to the next year, he is fasiq. He's not called adil if he intentionally delays, because this is a great sin.
So we cannot ignore the importance of the Hajj. Zurara ibn Ayyan was coming to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, learning the Ahkam al-Hajj, and said, so Imam alayhi salam, that I am coming, منذ 40 عاماً, I am coming to you, Yabna Rasulullah, for 40 years, learning the Ahkam of Hajj. When are these Ahkam going to end? Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam replied to Zurara ibn Ayyan, Hajjun baytun hujja ilayhi qabla adama bi alfay aam. Turidu an tafna masailuhu fi arba'ina aaman. The house towards which Hajj has been performed 2,000 years before Adam, you want the Ahkam of Hajj to end in 40 years? Look at the importance of Hajj in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. 2,000 years before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, Hajj had been performed. It was never abandoned. So this is our responsibility. This is the reason why this ummah is afdal in the eyes of Allah. Because there are some who are doing the Hajj. And because of the izzat and sharaf and karamat of those some, the whole ummah of Rasulullah is benefiting from the presence of those personalities who are performing the Hajj. So we are basically benefiting from those people.
Just like I mentioned last night in the speech, what Imam Sahib Uzzaman alayhi salam had said to, you know, to Ali ibn Ibrahim ibn Mahziyar, لَوْلَا إِسْتِغْفَارُ بَعْضِكُمْ بَعْضًا لَهَلَكَ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا. Isn't it right?
And then it comes to the fifth attribute that Prophet Allah mentions to Prophet Musa alayhi salam is jihad.
Fifth attribute is jihad. So obviously it's another wajib of Islam, which is important. And we find that when it comes to jihad, look at the behavior. Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi, he meets with the Imam alayhi salam, and Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi is coming from Iraq towards Makkah, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is coming from Makkah towards Iraq. On their way, they meet with each other, and Imam calls him to join the Imam alayhi salam. This is the
man and ihsan and favor of Imam Husayn. Imam Husayn does not need nobody. Isn't that right? This is the man and favor of Imam Husayn is doing on Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi to join the Imam so that he can become Sa'id and Sa'adat man in the eyes of Allah. But there are people who are munharif. Isn't that right? So he did not join the Imam. Instead, he said to Imam that, I cannot join you, but you know what? You can take my horse with you.
This horse is a very thoroughbred, experienced horse, participated in so many, in other words, events, which, you know, is going to help you, take my horse. Look at the response of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam to his disbehavior. You know, they are arbab al-tahara. You know, al-jinsu yamino ila jinsihi. They get along with those people who have taharat.
They don't get along with those people who have najasat, because they themselves are tayyib and tahir. Isn't it right? So look at the response of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that he gives to Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi. Ama idha raghibta bi nafsika anna fala hajata lana fi farasika wala fika. Now that you are turning away from us, we don't stand in need of neither you nor your horse. Look at the azmat of Imam al-Husayn. Istighna an al-nas. Bi niyazi of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So he says, "Wa ma kuntu muttakhidh al-mudhillina 'adwa." I am not the one who take the misleading people as my supporter. Now Imam Hussain alayhi salam considers Abdullah ibn Hur al-Juhfi to be one of the mudhillin and misleading people. He's not going to get no support from him. And Imam Hussain is going to receive support from those who are ahl al-tahara. Tayyib and Tahir people. Turning away from the wali and mawla of your time, this is the akbarul fusuq in Islam, biggest of the harams. Right? Leaving how people are aghbiya. You know? That's why we talk about wa'i, understanding, basira, fahmul Islam, tafaqquh fi deen, in depth understanding of the concepts of the religion. Abi Abdullah Hussain alayhi salam is doing umratul mufrada instead of the hajj. And people, how ahmaq the people are, they are not joining the wali and mawla of the time. Imam al-Husayn is the ruhul hajj and ruhul Islam. Walayat of Ahlul Bayt is the ruh and essence of Islam. People are coming towards Makkah to perform the skeleton and the body of hajj and turning their back towards the ruh of Islam, which is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And then Imam Hussain did his nasihat. He is the Imam al-Muslimin. He's the right Khalifa of Allah. And he performs the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. Look at the nasihat that Imam did to Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi. In istata'ta. He says, in istata'ta an la tasma' surakhana wa la tashhad waq'atana faf'al. If you can basically do it, that you can, you know, don't hear our voice. See, Imam Hussain al-Islam is going to raise the nida of istighatha, hal min, you know, nasirin yansiruna, hal min dhabbin yadhubbu an harami rasulillah. Isn't it right? His nida of istighatha, calling for help. If you can do it, that you don't hear my voice, do it. That means go so far away from me that you don't listen to my voice. وَلَا تَشْهَدْ وَقْعَتَنَا. And you don't witness the event, an occasion of the shahadat and the incident of Imam Hussain al-Islam. Don't be a witness to that. What would happen if somebody listens to the voice of Imam Hussain and still did not respond positively towards the wali and mawla of the time? Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that the situation that Imam alayhi salam has mentioned, فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ وَعِيَّتَنَا أَحَدٌ وَلَا يَنْصُرُنَا إِلَّا أَكَبَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمُ. I swear to Allah, anyone who listens to our voice and does not support us, Allah is going to throw him face down into the hell. So this is the itmam al-hujjat on us. Imam Hussain alayhi salam's voice is even valid today. Who on the earth has the power to make the hadith of Imam al-Husayn invalid? He's shaheed, he's hay, he's alive. All the, his ahadith are equally valid even today. Isn't it right? Even today, Imam Hussain alayhi salam's call and nida of istighasa, hal min nasirin yansurana, is there anybody to help us? Even today, this call is applying on the neck of me and you. Equally. Without a difference. How are we? Imam Hussain stood for the inqaz and rescue of Islam and Quran and the Sharh and the Sharia and the values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we protecting this Islam, which is an amanat in our hands for a very short duration of time until Imam Sahib al-Zamana Islam appears? He is the Sahib al-Din. He is the owner of the religion. What did we behave towards this amanat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? So we find that Imam did not accept, and we find, and I'm coming very close to the end. Sixth of all, Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa alayhi salam is
is the Jumu'ah, the Friday prayers. And well, Jama'ah, seventh of all, is the Jama'at prayers. These are reasons why the Ummah of Rasulullah has been made superior. Well, Quran, that means obviously we have been given this most superior book, Holy Quran, and no one has. And obviously, the most superior in the final book. And ninth of all, Allah mentioned to Prophet Musa, Wal Ashura. And that's what we are getting close to, the Yawmul Ashura. Ninth reason why the Ummah of Rasulullah is afdal over all the previous ala sa'iril umam is Ashura. Hazrat Musa said, what is Ashura? And that's where Wamal Ashura, and Allah replied back, Al Buka wa Tabaki. That means crying. See, tabaki in Arabic means if you cannot cry, you make a face as if you are crying. You try your best to cry. So you try your best effort. Do your best effort to cry, even if you don't end up having tears, but you did your best effort to make yourself one of the bakin, one of those who are crying. You did your best effort. So you try to cry. This is called tabaki. So man baka aw abka aw tabaka. Whoever cries or make other people cry or tries to cry, tries to be as if he's crying. This kind of has a lot of reward in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward is jannat for this. So obviously, this is a great deal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-buka'u wa-tabaki wa-al-marthiya wa-al-aza ala musibati waladil Mustafa. Allah is describing Ashura in front of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. That means crying and trying your best to cry. Tabaki, in other words, trying to cry. And marthiya. It's so good when I see these our children coming and reading in front of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, reading the Latmiyat. MashaAllah, our ulafa say this is a duty assigned by Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Who is going to read the Latmiyah for my son Hussain? Hazrat Zahra appoints the person. This is not an ordinary thing, it's a lot of sawab in the eyes of Allah. Who is going to provide water to the Ahlul Aza, to those people who are doing the Aza of Imam Zain? Which mu'min will get the tawfiq and great opportunity from Allah to provide water to the thirsty people in the masjid? This is a duty that Hazrat Zahra appoints. Who is going to straighten the shoes of these mu'mineen? This is a Azeem, great sawab in the eyes of Allah. This is assigned by Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Everything for Imam Hussain alayhi salam is assigned in the majalis in Azah, assigned by Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So everything is great that you do for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, obviously within the limits of Sharia. This is the great thing. So wal aza ala musibati waladil Mustafa. So he finds, and
if somebody of a scholar say, someone cannot cry, he should lower down his head and say to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Mawla, I love to cry, but I cannot. Please give me the tawfiq from Allah. Please give me the tawfiq to cry so I can have that sa'adat. I can have that high reward of crying on you. He will end up crying, our scholars say. If you do that and you say that sincerely, you will end up crying. Because Imam Hussain Islam is Kareem ibn Kareem. They are always ready to provide, help if we are sincere. Buka ala Hussain is a big value of ours. Ma min abdin min abidi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Musa, there is no servant among my servants. Fi dhalika zaman, in that time, baka aw abka wa ta'azza ala waladil Mustafa. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ إِلَّا وَكَانَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. There is no servant among my servants who cries or make other people cry and did the ta'ziyat, ta'zi, holding the azab for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, except that he is going to have the Jannat خَالِدًا forever. This is the reward that we are talking about. This is the value that we are talking about. So we find
ما من رجل أنفق ماله في محبة ابن بنت المصطفى طعاما أو غير ذلك درهما أو دينارا إلا باركت له. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that there is no man who spends his money in the love of the son of the daughter of Mustafa. That means for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. There is nobody who spends his money for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam except that I am going to provide barakat to him. Do not work, brothers and sisters, on the day of Ashura. It is condemned. You know, we do not go for shughl and work on the day of Ashura. This is the day when Banu Umayyah la'natullah alayhim used to gather their food for the entire year. And because they were celebrating killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, la'natullah alayhim, Banu Umayyah, ala Banu Umayyah. So we don't go to buy purchases for our house. Whatever you need to purchase, purchase before the Yawm al-Ashura. Don't go for work on the Yawm al-Ashura. We have ihtiram for this day. We do the aza of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We don't go for work on that day. So we find that this is the great sawab, and we find that wa'izzati wa jalali ma min rajulin aw imra'atin sala damu aynayhi fi yawm ashura. Allah says, I swear to my izzat and my honor and my majesty, there is no man or woman whose tears flow over his face. You know, in other words, on the day of Ashura, tears whose eyes have tears on the day of Ashura, illa katabta lahu ajra mi'at alf shaheed. Mi'at alf shaheed. Except that I will write the ajr and reward of 100,000 shaheed. Your tears are flowing over your face. Allah is giving you the reward of 100,000 shaheed. This is the azmat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. For crying for him. But tonight, we want to talk about the personality for which Imam Hussein himself cried. How great is that personality? You know, أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ, the shair, the poet says, أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَن يُبْكَى عَلَيْهِ فَتَنْ أَبْكَى الْحُسَيْنَ فِي بِكَرْبَلَائِ. The most deserving person to cry for him is the one for whom Imam Hussein cried. Who made Imam Hussein to cry? Who's that person? Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Such a great person, Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. My Mawla Imam Hussein cried for him. Such a great person, Hamilul Lewa. He is the flag bearer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Alandar of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Finally, when everyone became shaheed, we find, according to certain narrations, Abul Fadl Abbas comes to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words. He comes to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to seek the permission and izn for the jihad. And Mawla is not there. Mawla is how would Mawla allow him? He's so much mahbub and dear to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam says, Anta hamilu liwa'i. You are the flag bearer of mine. You are the one who holds the flags, in other words, for my whole army, in other words. And some of the riwayat say, فَنَّذَرَ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. Abul Fadl Abbas, according to some riwayat, he said, where is that army for whom I am the flag bearer? You know, basically the people have already become shaheed. Imam asked him to bring water. You know, Sukaina bintul Hussein, Hazrat Sakina, such beloved daughter of Imam Hussein. You know, she was, and all the rest of the children were thirsty. Abul Fadl Abbas comes and asks for the water, Mashkiza, and bag from Sakina. And Sakina brings it for her uncle Abbas. And she becomes so satisfied now that she's going to get the water, inshallah, because her uncle is going to get the water. Abul Fadl Abbas is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's the shuja. He's the most shuja person we find. And he is fighting just like Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Just his father was his teacher. We find Abu al-Fadl Abbas is going towards the Nahr. You know, he's going towards the Nahr to get the water. And finally, after the long battle, he reaches to the Nahr and to the Furat, and he takes water in his hand. And he remembers Sukaina bintul Hussein. He remembers Hazrat Sakina. Did not drink water. Look at the wafa and faithfulness of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. How much he is faithful and how much he is shuja. He does not drink water because Imam al-Hussein is thirsty, because Sakina bintul Hussein is thirsty, because Ahlul Haram are thirsty. How would Abu al-Fadl Abbas drink water on his own? He throws away the water, fills up the container of water, and returns back towards the Khiyam. The A'da and enemies are surrounding Abu al-Fadl Abbas, and one enemy comes forward and he hits over the right hand, the right arm of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. His right arm gets killed, they get separated. He holds the alam, the mashk, the mashkiza, the water container into the left hand. He still did not stop moving towards the Khiyam because he wanted to bring the water for Sakina bintul Hussein. We find he is moving forward, and one of the Ashqiya comes and he cuts the left arm of Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. He still did not stop moving. He holds the water back with his own mouth. The water container is now held by his mouth, but he still moves forward because he wants to take the water there. Finally, when we find there was an arrow thrown into that water bag by one of the Ashqiya, and the water flows down. That's the place where the riwayat says Abu al-Fadl Abbas did not move forward after that. Why would he move forward? He doesn't want to face Sakina because he cannot bring water for her. We find that's where he falls down. Ayatullah Sibawai, who used to read the Salatul Jama'at long time ago at the haram of Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, he saw in the dream Abu al-Fadl Abbas came into his dream and said to him about his musibat, his masaib. And he said, Mawla, which musibat and masaib you are talking about? I read your musibat and masaib. Abu al-Fadl Abbas said to Ayatullah Sibawai, you know, when every shaheed in Karbala, he was falling down, he had his hands there. But when I fell down from the horse, I did not have the hands. All the arrows again penetrated into my body when I fell down on the ground. Look at the musibat, which is unique for Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. All the arrows came into his body once again because he fell down without the support of his arms. Look at the azmat. Imam al-Hussein brings the alam back to the khaymah, and the people, the ladies, the children discover Abu al-Fadl Abbas did not come. Hazrat Zainab had said, you know, my dad, you Amir al-Mu'mineen, used to kiss the hands of Hazrat Zainab, that ropes will be tied on your hand. Obviously, who can tie the ropes in the hands of Zainab bint Ali when she has a brother like Abu al-Fadl Abbas? Now that Abu al-Fadl Abbas became shaheed, she can understand this is the time has arrived when Abbas has gone, that the time is getting closer when the hands will be tied up. We find that Abu al-Fadl Abbas is the only shaheed among the shuhada of Karbala. He's the only shaheed. Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari says, for every shaheed, Rasulullah was bringing the from the fountain of Kausar, the drink from the fountain of Kausar. For every shaheed, when a prophet brought the drink for Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, at the time of his shahadat, he refused to drink that drink
drink of Kawthar, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam is thirsty. Allah gives the laqab of Babul Hawa'id, the door of Hawa'id, to Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. We find one of the shu'ara wrote a misra of the shair. He said that Yawmun Abul Fadl Istajar al Huda. The day of Ashura was the day when Imam Hussein took refuge towards Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Then he cut off that misra and he thought to himself, Imam al-Masoom alayhi salam, Imam Hussein, how would he take refuge towards Abul Fadl Abbas? He cut off the misra. He saw in the dream Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam came according to that narration, and he said, I did take refuge towards my brother. The shair realized he did the wrong by cutting the misra, because Abul Fadl Abbas was the malja for Imam al-Hussein. Imam Hussein did take refuge towards him. Such a great personality. We find Hazrat Ummul Baneen alayhi salam, when finally the qafila of Ahlul Bayt arrives at Medina, a man Bashir ibn Jazlam, he goes there to Medina on behalf of Imam al-Sajjad to give the news about the arrival of Imam al-Sajjad and the Ahlul Haram towards Medina. Hazrat Ummul Baneen alayhi salam, she comes, she also, you know, she learns about that. So now, when you inform somebody about the death of the children, four sons of Ummul Baneen became shaheed in Karbala. So Bashir is giving the news gradually to the mother who has four sons becoming shaheed. You inform the news gradually to the mother, and he informs gradually, and she says to Bashir, قَدْ قَطَعْتَ نِيَاتَ قَلْبِي, you have cut off my nerve, you know, cut off my jugular vein, in other words, and said that, what did I do? He said, you are not giving me the real news. What happened to my son Hussein? She's worried about Imam al-Hussein. She's not worried about her children. And Bashir said Imam al-Hussein became shaheed. She said towards Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, you were proud of Abul Fadl Abbas. My Hussein became shaheed. And Bashir said, please don't say that. As long as Abul Fadl Abbas was alive, he did not allow anything to happen to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We find that Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullah alayh has narrated, on the day of judgment, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, Prophet will ask her about the issue of shafa'at. Then she would reply, kafana lishafa'ate jadane maqtu'atane li waladi al-Abbas. You know, the two hands of my son Abbas are enough for the shafa'at. Ala la'natullah.